And the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Brett Favre was inducted into football's Hall of Fame on Saturday, August the 6th. He credited his dad, his mother, his wife for the importance of his calling as a father and for his faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He especially made a long tribute to his father, who expected his son to work hard and compete hard in football. His dad was his head football coach in high school, and his dad demanded a lot of him and was tough on him. He said without a doubt he would never have made it here, meaning through his football career and in the Hall of Fame, without the influence of his dad. He also gave credit to various coaches. Brett's tribute made the strong point that no one can excel in any job, career, or skill without the help and the assistance of others. My mind went back to when I was first interviewed by the vestry of this church 9 years ago. And I made the point, I learned my work ethic from my parents. I would not be here without them. And so we all have a part to play in those we love and how they see us live. We don't develop our gifts in isolation, but in partnership and cooperation with other people. Human relationships are truly a two-way street. In which we interact with other people, we give to them, and we receive from them. So it's truly a two-way street. Well, this morning, as we look at Philippians 4:10 through 23, the Apostle Paul addresses this principle of receiving God's gifts from others and giving of your gifts to others. The Apostle Paul speaks of receiving from the Philippians and sharing with them. So I'll first start, what did the Apostle Paul receive from the Philippians? Well, what he received from them was financial support even while he was in prison. In Philippians 4:10, Paul speaks of them, the Philippians, reviving their concern for Paul. Indeed, they were concerned before, but they lacked opportunity. Philippians 4:15 and 16, Paul commends them for their generosity to him, which happened more than once. Paul, as a spiritual leader in the church, is proud of them sharing with him, and he is grateful for their generosity. And he is confident that God will reward them for their faithfulness. What the Apostle Paul wants to get at in his commendation of the Philippians is not merely their generosity, but what lay behind their generous giving, which was their support and commitment to Paul and the message he preached of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1:5, Paul spoke of the Philippian believers and their participation in the gospel from the first day until now. The Philippians were partnering with Paul as they supported him financially. In essence, they were saying, "We believe in you. We believe in the message that you are preaching and proclaiming." And so they are sharing of their financial support of Paul at a time in which he was very much in need of physical, material support. The Apostle Paul was certainly grateful to the Philippians because they gave to him, and his needs were desperate and great, and they gave to him. The Philippians' concern for Paul issued in concrete action as they gave to him. I want us to focus on a moment for the details of how this happened, because we have to get away from the modern tools of technology and go back into the first century. I mean, for crying out loud, not that our generosity means any less, but I can go to a computer and click on the pay tab to any organization I want. It doesn't mean I'm any less generous, but let's think about this for a moment. How did Paul receive this financial support? He says in Philippians 4:18, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." So Paul reveals the source of how he got their gift. It was through a man called Epaphroditus. And he's writing to them in Philippi. Most Bible scholars believe when he was writing this letter, he was in Rome. There's several hundred miles between the two. So with there was great distance between point A and point B, it required the giver to get someone who would act as a carrier of that gift. This is where it got complicated. First, you had to pick someone you absolutely trusted, who once you gave them the gift, they wouldn't, quote, take the money and run. So it had to be somebody that was trustworthy. It also had to be somebody who was wise as far as, how do I get between here and there without being robbed? So Paul was writing this letter and thanking them for that effort. The reason why they believed, well, many scholars believe that he wrote from Rome is in Philippians 4:22. He says that all the saints greet you, especially those of the household of Caesar. Well, if people are telling him in close proximity, and part of that close proximity is the household of Caesar, sounds like he's in Rome. So there's this great distance between Philippi and Rome, depending whether you go by sea or by land, it's still several hundred miles. And on top of that, think about something else. If you're going to send a carrier, he's probably not going to do it for free. So on top of the gift, you also have to pay the carrier for expenses, either set up people who he can stay with, homes, or inns. So again, it's a great effort. It's not simple. But that all the more shows their commitment to do all this work to make sure Paul is taken care of. I want to make one last comment before going on to see what Paul gave to the Philippians, and that's this. Paul speaks of their gift benefiting him, but also says their gift would be remembered by the Lord and they would be rewarded for their faithfulness. So he speaks of their gift in Philippians 4:18 as a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Hebrews 13:16 uses very similar language about giving and sharing in these words, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." So we've had a long-standing tradition as Christians talking about sacrificial giving. That's why we use those words, because Paul used those words. Paul is encouraging the Philippians that God is pleased with their giving to Paul, and God would remember their faithfulness and bless them as part of the outworking of their faith in the Lord. Now, having talked about how Paul received from the Philippians, he now goes on, I think, by implication, implying what he gave to them. And it's not money. Paul was in need of that. So what he gave was of a different order of gift. It wasn't a financial gift he gave them. What Paul gave to the Philippians was a good example in his life. Paul set a good example for the Philippians as he was content in serving the Lord and continuing to trust in the Lord through trying times. The reason why Paul was content is that his contentment was connected to his faith in the Lord. Paul learned to be content in whatever circumstances he found himself. And so in Philippians 4:12, he says, "Sometimes he lived in prosperity, and other times he lived humbly, at times going hungry." While contentment was a well-admired virtue among Greek philosophers, their struggle to be content, at least as they spoke about it, was centered on one's own efforts to be content. In other words, a struggle to be content depended on one's determination and effort, period, end of story. That's not Paul's view of contentment. The contentment that Paul was talking about is resting in and trusting that God will take care of your needs even through very stressful times when it's famine rather than feast. And remember, Paul's not in an air-conditioned hotel as he writes these words. He's in prison. So the man who is telling us that we need to be content in whatever circumstances is the very man who is in not-so-good situation. Paul is not trusting in his own strength and ability to keep it together to be content. His trust is and faith is in the Lord, and that's how he can be content. With the same faith that Jesus Christ had when he was dying on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." That's hard to do when you're under extreme duress. But Christ did it, and Paul does it here. Of course it's very hard not to be distressed. That's part of the human condition. But Paul's gift to the Philippians is that even in times when he suffered so much, he was content that the Lord would take care of him and keep him faithful to the Lord. And in that spirit, he says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This statement of Paul is not implying a notion of unlimited human potential, because as people, even though we have gifts and skills, none of us has unlimited gifts and skills. What Paul is saying is that he can do all things that God has called him to do and has gifted him to do. And we have to rest and trust in that. I mean, not all of us are called to run a corporation. Very few of us are called to be the president of the United States, thank God. We don't have that skill set. But whatever skills you do have, use them. Because God has called you to do that. Don't be envious of somebody else's gifts. Use the gifts that you have and thank God for it. The second way that Paul showed the Philippians a good example is that he was willing to receive their gift. He was willing in humility to admit, "I need help." And so Paul says in Philippians 4:14, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction." Paul was willing to receive help. He was willing to eat humble pie and say to himself, "I am in great need. And since this group of believers is willing to share with me, I'm willing to receive." Now, I'm just going to use a phrase. Sometimes it's hard for middle-class people to receive help. Am I the only one who feels that way sometime? It's hard to admit, "I can't get out of this ditch by myself. I need a helping hand." But if we are in need and someone desires to share with us, we can and should accept a helping hand. Paul did it, and we ought to be willing to receive that as well. In my previous church at St. Luke's Reformed Episcopal Church in New Providence, New Jersey, there was a church member who was a single mom with four children in between jobs over the Christmas holiday. And the church gave her money to buy her children Christmas presents. When in private I gave the gift to this woman, she swallowed hard and said she couldn't accept it. It was one of those times where generally I'm an easygoing guy, but this time I pressed. I said to her, "Right now, times are tough. Maybe in a couple years, you'll be able to help someone else. But now, it's your time to receive. So I urge you, please receive this gift." She conceded and accepted the gift. There is nothing wrong and everything right about receiving help when you need it. God works through people to provide for one another, not just financially, but in so many ways. There's a time to help others, and there's a time to receive help from others. And I think, quite frankly, it takes as much faith in the Lord to receive help as it is to give help. So we need to have the faith to trust in the Lord, to share God's gifts with others, and to receive God's gifts from others. Let us pray.